In normal circumstances, generally speaking, a word is utilized with the word bravery or courageous. Now, this word, this person is very courageous, he's very brave, big-hearted. So in mind, we think, this person's very strong, powerful. If an enemy confronts him, he'll confront him. He won't step back. He'll be up for the challenge and he'll persevere, etc., etc. So this is the definition, or this is the thought process, a brave or courageous person. And opposite to that is buzdil, cowardly person. Either a person will be brave, courageous, or cowardly, or a coward. So his qualities, her qualities will be opposite. A brave person will confront, challenge, one step back, and the coward will run back, run away, turn his back on the challenge, just like a mouse. A mouse hears a little bit of a clatter and runs off, so he will melt and fizzle away. So this is the difference between the brave, courageous person and the cowardly person. And both have different styles of living and passing the life in the world. The poor soul, the coward person, he is struggling in the world. He's scared of people, what's around him. He'll listen, succumb to pressure, orders and instructions. He'll succumb to anyone tells him off. He'll put his head down. And because people then utilize that person who's a coward because he's weak. People think he's weak and they tell him off and they hit him or push him around, bully him. And the poor cowardly person, or the person with cowardly qualities, he succumbs to the pressure because he doesn't have any status or any say, etc., any power and energy. So that's not a nice way to live. It's a bad way to live. How can it be a good way of living if a person's a coward and he's sort of always under pressure all the time and people keep pestering him or persecuting him, etc.? But this is just an example of the coward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He has called certain people cowards, in reality, that is the cowardly person. Yeah? Which is worse than the definition that we've just discussed. Who is weaker than this? Allah, we've just discussed a worldly example of the coward. But Allah ta'ala said that there are worse people than this who are cowards, who are the buzdil, and Allah ta'ala has utilized. What will be that person's hal, that person's condition? How much of a coward will that person be? And secondly, what we see, the cowards in the world, how they're dishonored and wretched. And how wretched and dishonored will the real coward be? If Allah Ta'ala is terming somebody, is defining somebody as a coward, then that person is living the life of extreme wretchedness. That person is surrounded by extreme negative. And in the Akhirah, what will be the condition of that person who is a coward? Allah Ta'ala will make that person will be disrespected, you can say, in front of everyone in the hereafter. And he will be wretched and he will feel sorry for himself, but it will be too late. So this is the Akhirah. Allah has given the example in the world that this is the hal of the coward in the world. People who call someone else a coward in the world, he's looked down upon and laughed at, mocked at. What about the person who's the coward in the hereafter? How will he be mocked at and looked down upon? So what is the feeling and the emotion in both instances? The coward in the world, whenever the enemy comes, that's it, give up, sit down, lose hope. So the buzdil, the coward, that Allah Ta'ala has termed as the coward, same emotions, but Sharia, Islam, what does Islam define as the cowardly individual? It's that individual who is the coward in front of Allah. That when Allah's ahkams come, when Allah's orders come, Allah's instructions come, and that person runs away. Allahu Akbar. Allah's order has come, and that individual runs away, turns his back, does a U-turn, doesn't listen. And our life has to hinge totally on Allah's orders and implementing Allah's orders. So we realize that only those men and women turn their faces on Allah's orders. Those who are the cowards, not just cowards, they are the worst of individuals. And the big punishment in the hereafter for those people, Allah will make them wretched and lose out. Look, when Allah's hukam comes, how is a coward carrying out his actions? Allah's order comes to pray salah, Sharia, Allah's system, sunnah, haram, halal, lawful, unlawful. These are all Allah's ahkams that we hear from the respectful scholars. Salah time comes. Let's take the example of salah. Okay, let's pray salah. So now we see who's a coward and who's brave. Say subhanallah. Are you sleeping or are you awake? Or are you listening and understanding what I'm saying? This is a very important point. Let's listen attentively. Alert. Put the antenna up. Always we should know, we can always realize, are we cowards or are we brave? And the definition is clear. Allah's hukm has come, Allah's order has come to pray salah. For example. Now the brave person, the courageous person, will go towards salah. So how does he become brave? That along with Allah Ta'ala's hukm, Allah's order has come, and then his challenge and tussle starts with his enemy. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. How? Because when Allah's order comes, then our real enemies, which are the nafs, the base desires, because we are defeated in front of our desires. Desire says, no, no, show me how you do this. Forget Allah's order. But the brave person will say, sorry, I'm not going to listen to you. Say subhanAllah. So the brave person will leave the orders of the desires. Allah's order has come. Who are you, oh, my desires, to stop me? So hasn't he won? And how has he won the battle with the desires? And shaitan, that's the other enemy. So the cowardly person, Allah has given the example of the dunya. Whenever nafs and shaitan come and tell him, how dare you go there to pray? Are you crazy? If you go to pray salah, then your shop will go downhill, your turnover will decrease, your business will suffer, you won't get the jobs, the customers for your taxi, what the people of the world will say to you. So this is a concept, a mindset today, an ideology. And whilst I was coming, I thought in reality this hadith went across me. I was doing dua, and during dua these points came to my mind. So can a person imagine that the hukm has come for salah, the order has come for salah, and salah is such an order from Allah that iman is decorated by prayer, the mu'min. If we see in the Islamic world today, that how do we decorate our world? We have masjids, the houses of Allah. They decorate the environment. If you go to Makkah al-Mukarrabah, if you take the Kaaba and the masjid out from Makkah, will there be status and the glory of Makkah? Tell me, of course. And just like here, the town we live in, if we remove the masjid, wallahi, then you will not see anything here. No value. So our life and the light and the nur and the passion and the energy, the vibrancy in our communities is due to the masjid, the house of Allah. Just like salah, the respectful scholars say that, you know, for example, if your whole body is beautiful, but if you don't have a neck, yes, then a person's position is just like that person. The whole link of a human being, a mu'min, a believer, is with the akhirah and Allah's pleasure. And such an ibadah Allah Ta'ala has given to us with such care. Allah Ta'ala gave to the ummah as a gift. Allah Ta'ala prepared and invited his Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the heavens, and he went on the travel and the journey, and Jibreel Alayhi Salaam was with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Allah called and invited his Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then Allah gave the gift that here's the gift for you and your ummah of salah. Imagine this gift of me and you. If we have iman, we recite the kalima, we know everything, we hear the Quran, we hear the words of the ulama, the scholars. When it's time for salah, the hukum for salah comes, what happens to us? We wither away, we melt. Today, if we take the percentage out from amongst the ummah, how many individuals pray salah? It's so sad to state and share. There's so few people pray salah, just like you have salt within the grains of flour. This is the state of our salah. If you go to our Islamic countries, Islamic environment, so-called, if we take the percentage out, then we'll realize, as I've said before, it's not in my mind again, that data. You'd be amazed in hearing that in India, the scenario, how many percent of the population, Muslim population, pray salah? We think our work of the deen's happening, tabligh, masajid, etc. But so, despite all of that effort, it's written, there's data in a kitab after research was conducted, the percentage that came out, the result, consequence, such a minor, low percentage of Muslims pray. And you'd be amazed to think that so few Muslims are praying. Imagine, how can a Muslim leave salah? It's beyond belief that a Muslim leaves salah. It's beyond imagination. But how do we leave salah? Because we're cowards. Shaitan, he influences, oh, lie down, how can you pray salah? And this is a situation of our cowardice, that we become like mice and we obey shaitan and nafs. Are we not cowards? Otherwise we'd never leave salah. How much cowardly life we live, that how many percent of the mu'mins and the Muslims in the world, such a high percentage of Muslims in the world have become cowards. Allah is saying that in the akhirah we will see that how the coward will become zaleel, wretched, no honor, no respect. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, let's take another action now. Imagine, about the sunnah, the whole Quran is full of verses exhorting us and telling us to practice the sunnah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, to practice it, Allah has given an open reward that no other ibadah can be equivalent to the reward of practicing the sunnah. Allah has opened the doors of thawab reward. The one sunnah, Allah ta'ala said, no precondition, wajib, or the different levels of sunnah, nawafil, voluntary, wajib is obviously compulsory. If a person leaves a wajib sunnah, there's punishment. Like keeping the beard, to grow the beard is wajib. It's not in our control. It's compulsory. We have to keep the beard. The ulama say that you have to keep the beard. And if a person doesn't keep the beard, then it's fisk. So it's wajib to keep the beard. To leave growing the beard, to cut the beard, it's a sin, a major sin, and it's obeying the shaitan. And a person lowers himself. So now forget that. That's compulsory. But normal sunnahs, mustahib, nawafil, voluntary, recommended, I've not even come to wajib. With regards to these sunnahs, Allah has said, the respectful scholars have commented on this, that Allah Ta'ala has given us big, massive reward just for the voluntary sunnahs. That if an individual does amal, practices on one sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the reward is of 100 shaheed reward. Imagine to practice one sunnah. How? That if you make niyyah, I'm about to drink water, I will drink water according to the sunnah way. You use miswak, apply surma, you apply fragrance and nice scent. Any sunnah, because as I said, not every sunnah is wajib, it's not compulsory. But if you practice the sunnah for this reason, that Allah has given such a big reward. We have yaqeen and hereafter we have belief. We don't just need, obviously maybe one reward will take us over the line. So if Allah has given so much reward for practicing the sunnah, we know this, we are all ashiks. We say we are ashiks, we say we are lovers, and we recommend our own selves. But our hal is what? That how much do we practice the sunnah in our lives? Tell me, how much do we? The reason? We are cowards. We'll have to accept this, won't we, brothers? So remember, whenever an ahkam of Allah, an order of Allah is being rejected by us, we leave it. At that time, whatever we are, extreme cowards in the world when we leave the sunnah practice of Rasulullah. Any ibadah, salah, or the sunnah, and the most wretched person in the hereafter, the most zaleel individual will be the coward person in the definition that Allah has given. If we leave Allah Ta'ala's direction, the deen, the sunnah, and salah. So we need to now become strong. If we're weak, may Allah Ta'ala forgive. If we're weak, if we're cowards and we're not brave, how can we imagine that we reject Allah's order or the sunnah of the Prophet? This does not befit a Muslim. And if a Muslim is doing this, then he's a coward. And consider, O cowardly Muslim, that at that time shaitan and nafs have trapped you. There's no way out apart from leaving that. And look, shaitan's punched us, our nafs has punched us, and they've defeated us. They don't want us to practice it, but we got a chance. We can practice the sunnah. We don't practice it, then consider shaitan has influenced us. He's jumped on us and he's beating us, punching us, and he's making us stop practicing sunnah with this haram, halal, immodesty, lewdness. If Allah orders to the woman, observe parda, the barrier, yes, and hide your beauty. Then the woman doesn't do that. She's afraid. Shaitan's made her afraid. How? Shaitan has made a word prevalent in society today. Then what will the world say? What will people say? Allahu Akbar. Dunya? Fearing the world? And we don't have fear of Allah? Then can there be more cowardly actions than this? Look how the shaitan attacks us today. He's making us afraid of the so-called statement. What will the dunya say? What will people say? Don't do this. What will people say? They'll laugh at you and they'll jeer at you. And what will the people in the neighborhood say? Our community say? What will that man say? Oh, your son's doing this nowadays. Or your daughter started practicing. What will happen? Oh, and we become cowards. And we discourage each other. Is this not a big act of cowardice? Allah the Hakim, the protector of the world. And we've allowed shaitan and our nafs to overcome us. So at that time, a person is an extreme coward. When any order of Allah Ta'ala is left and degraded and ignored and not practiced, and this should not happen to any mu'min. Never should this happen to a Muslim in his life. So my brothers, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has explained this scenario to us. And we've just understood it now in our discussion. And we are listening. And we have heard, but we don't do amal. We don't practice. We don't practice. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us clear du'as, clear prayers, solutions. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-jubli. What a great ta'awuz. That, is this a minor thing? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-jubli. That Allah Ta'ala, please save us. We seek refuge and protection from you, Allah. We seek refuge from what? From this. What is this action? Of cowardice. Yes, in Arabic. What is this word? That Allah save us from this bad effect. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling the Ummah that be careful that you have to ask for protection from Allah for being a coward. When we see that we're getting weak and we're rejecting Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, we're leaving Allah's orders, then straight away turn to Allah. If we don't turn to Allah, then we will die like this. Jaban, which is the cowardly act. And Allah's Nabi has given us the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhuka min al-jabani. this is the tariqah, the method. What is the tariqah? That seek refuge from Allah, seek protection from Allah, from being a coward. Yes, ask for Allah's help. And now here we have to understand a point. What is the point? That such a beautiful learning from this hadith that we need to understand. That for example, I have a fight with somebody. Yes, and I'm weak and he's more strong. I say, oh please help me, oh please help me. Ask for help, won't I? Because the other person's strong. If there's a thief at home, we'll ask, help, help, there's a thief. If the house is set on fire, help, help. We ask for help. Cars not starting, we ask for help. We ask for help, don't we? And who are we asking help from? Obviously, if a child is asking for help, then he'll ask help from a big person, an elder person, stronger person, more powerful person. So help is what? Assistance is sought from somebody, protection is sought from somebody. The come, please help me. Somebody who's capable of helping. So that person will come and help you. Some people don't help, do they? Then for example, we're screaming, help, I'm drowning, no one's helping me, I'm struggling, nobody helps. So if we will try our best, that we want to seek the assistance from the most strongest of persons, that please, I'll go to the strongest person, help me please. For example, if I go to the minister, the MP, the MNA, that you've got the sources, they'll say, yeah, I've got the reference of the Prime Minister, and will bypass everyone and go to the Prime Minister, because he's the strongest. So Rasulullah said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-jabani. That jaban, the coward, ask Allah for protection from cowardice. And who should we ask from? From Allah. From the greatest and the strongest, the most supreme. That we have iman. Why am I scared and I'm afraid? I'm in a worse condition, a severe condition. If I've got a bad situation around me, I'm a coward. Don't sit there with these. Shaitan has attacked me. My nafs has attacked me. And I'm not obeying Allah. What do I need to do? Don't sit with ease and just accept the bad status quo. Ask Allah for help. Ask for help. Ask for help. Ask from Allah, your Rabb. When we ask Allah for help, Allah is so strong. He's so powerful. He's the most powerful. He will assist. He will help. And Allah will assist immediately upon us asking. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, you haven't even asked me yet. And Allah Ta'ala's, we haven't even asked, and Allah's help has already come. Allahu Akbar. If I ask somebody for me, we say, yeah, I'm coming, wait, we'll have to wait. Even if we ask the police to help, they may take an hour to come. But Allah, most powerful, most supreme, the most powerful, most strongest. As soon as an individual asks for help from Allah, Allah's angels immediately descend to come to the assistance of that individual. They save him from the tragedy or calamity. This is a great encouragement. This is regards to thereafter. If a person like me who's weak, and he's weak in obeying Allah's akams, halal, haram, no care, no diligence, no care about salah, we don't practice the sunnah in our homes, there's kharafat and sin, and it's become like a graveyard, our life's like a graveyard, we're half a partridge, half a quail, half this, half that, then for those people, there's a great solution. The reason is because we are cowards, and we are weak, and we are afraid, and our enemies have gripped us, shaitan and nafs, they are our enemies, they've grabbed us, so we shouldn't become hopeless, we should immediately go to the cure, ask Allah for help, Allah help me, please assist me, you'll be saved. But we don't even ask Allah for help, we don't ask for assistance, we carry on down that spiral that leads to darkness and wretchedness. We'd prefer to die like this, but we don't want to go to Allah and His Rasul for help. Allah says, you're not asking me for help. So now we need to think that whenever we see we are weak, we're in severe situation, we shouldn't just sit and rely on our rest on our laurels. We should ask Allah for help. For example, I prayed tahajjud and I'm tossing and turning and I can't get up straight away. Say, Allah save me, Allah save me. My tahajjud is passing and I'm not getting up. I'm lazy. I'm on my mattress. I'm tossing and turning. I'm not getting up. And imagine this. Ask Allah for help at that time. We're human beings, aren't we? I know I'm habitual. I'm used to tahajjud. If I leave tahajjud, my nawafil salah will go. If I pray, recite Surah Yasin, the barakah of Yasin will go. After that, I do a bit of dhikr, that will disappear. After that, I do a bit of tasbih, that will disappear. Then after tahajjud there's a sunnah. A person, what should he do? That he recites this two sunnah, and then after he lies down on his right for a little while, that sunnah will go, and thousands of losses, and I'm just sat down, lie down my mattress, I want to sleep. Oh Allah, help me, wake me up. Subhanallah, your eyes will open and you'll wake up, and then you'll start praying tahajjud. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. What do? We do a little bit of laziness, a little bit lazy, we lie down a bit more. Is it? We don't go towards Allah for help. Yeah, we go to the opposite direction. What a big mistake. But no, straight away, you should replay this discussion. This is wrong. I'm sat at night time. By chance, I open the phone. I need to phone somebody. And I press a button. or an icon and some pictures come up, and we look around, nobody's watching, and nafs and shaitan attack me, Mulana Sahib sitting, oh, I've just done dhikr, I'm free from dhikr, oh, this is just some images, and the finger taps on the icon, and then nafs and shaitan give us taste and enjoyment. Immediately when you're on the first stage, nafs and shaitan are attacking us, just like the enemy attacks, what should we do straight away? Allah save me, Allah save me, Allahumma, Allah, I seek refuge, and straight away you will switch off that app, the icon will close, the image will close, and you'll leave that. But our problem is we don't ask for help because we don't have trust in Allah. We don't believe in Allah. We are so weak and so cowardly. Nafs and shaitan, our enemies, the desires and shaitan, they make us lose all hope, and we don't even turn to Allah. Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Do you understand the points I'm making? You understand the point here? So what a great lesson, and a person comes out of the problem. A mu'min and buzdil, opposites. Impossible. Cannot imagine this. A mu'min leaves salah? Impossible. A mu'min leaves sunnah? A mu'min was istiqamah, then he leaves the amal? No. This, the question doesn't arise. Shaitan has jumped on that person, the enemy, he's jumped on that person's back. And then at that time, we should invite the help of the biggest of powers, supreme power. No one can help us at that time, except for Allah's power, Subhanallah. Thousands of illnesses disappear. Suddenly the eyes open. The Quran says that when problems arise, shaitan and nafs, they attack you. Then those people who start doing dhikr of Allah, when they start to remember Allah, their iman increases and Allah's help comes. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The Quran says this, doesn't it? Doesn't it? So we seek refuge and protection from Allah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, I will tell you the method of getting protection from Allah and seeking refuge in Allah Ta'ala's power. What is that? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us the method. The method to seek protection is to ask Allah for protection. And what is the method of asking Allah for protection? And to seek refuge from the negatives, seek refuge from shaitan and nafs, and to seek protection from Allah. For example, when we are ill and we dial 999, call the ambulance or the doctor, Allah says, when you want Allah's protection, you want refuge from shaitan and the evil forces, then the best way is what? That Allah, I need your assistance, and we need to have that rope, the help of Allah. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Subhanallah. This is the dhikr of Allah. This is the method to get protection from Allah and to get refuge from the evil, from the shaitan and nafs. As soon as an individual starts to do dhikr of Allah, remember Allah, alhamdulillah, then that person's asking Allah for protection. Allah, I'm remembering you, save me. I'm very lazy and negligent, and shaitan and nafs have surrounded me. When a person starts to do dhikr, then Allah's rahmah and mercy descends and assists that person. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Dhikr, the person who does dhikr is never a coward. Remember this, never a coward. The genuine dhakir will never leave salah. He will never, a person who does amal with istiqamah will never leave the action. He will never leave the sunnah of Rasulullah. Darkness or light, halal and haram, he will be cautious. As much as his dhikr is elevated and strong and regular, with the same strength and power, Allah Ta'ala's help will come, and he will become so strong and powerful, the individual, the shaitan and nafs will not even come close to that individual. Allahu Akbar. That's why the walis of Allah invite the mu'mineen to salah, that don't worry about your weaknesses. The cure for weakness in front of shaitan and nafs, Allah has given the solution. Go to the wali Allah, learn dhikr, and soon as he tells you dhikr, then be regular in that dhikr, steadfast, inshallah, the power will continue to come, the strength will continue to come, and you will progress in thereafter. And this is my experience, that insan, human being who doesn't pray salah, if you explain to that person, do dhikr, give them the solution of dhikr, the walis of Allah, they don't expel that person, tell him, be gone with you, oh, run away. And if he is a good human being, I speak from my dialect, and if he has khawf, and he's not shaitan, and he's not afraid of shaitan, he has the niyyah to become good, he doesn't become like a monkey and animal and run around, or I swear by Allah, I sit on this prayer man, that if that individual goes to the wali of Allah and learns dhikr, then he will never be unsuccessful in the world, never. I swear by this point, I swear. That the conclusion, the consequence of being unsuccessful and losers is because we are munafiqs inside, we hypocrites, we don't come towards Allah's dhikr, we don't want to remedy ourselves, we don't have khawf of maut and the hereafter. For that reason, we say, oh, I'm sick, I want this to go, I want that to go, I want my dunya to succeed. That individual who's afraid of death, and he fears death, and he, for the sake of Allah's fear, and he goes to the wali Allah and learns dhikr, I swear by Allah, I can never be unsuccessful in this world. The shaitan and nafs can never dare to attack the person. Shaitan is a mouse in front of that person. The dhakir, I've seen discussion people, you know, the chua, the mice, the shaitan is like a mouse, and that person who's the dhakir, he kicks away shaitan and says, get out of here, how did you come close to me? Who are you to stop me doing good deeds? Rather,
to progress in his practice, that mu'min prays 2-3 nafil more. That here, look at this, is how much strength I've got. This is the strength of iman. Can we imagine this? We can't. Shaitan is nothing in front of us. Tell me, if Allah has given us La ilaha illallah, if the whole worldwide people are to recite that, whatever's there in the world, in the universe, everything, let's just put it to one side. And on the other side, the mu'min is iman. La ilaha illallah, put to the other side on the scale, it will be heavier than the whole universe and what it contains. We have that weight inside us, in you, me, us. But the problem is that we haven't made that connection with Allah. So the enemy of shaitan and nafs, they jump on us, they beat us, they make us do kufr and shirk and go far from Allah's, obeying Allah's orders. Don't do parda, afraid of people, people laugh at you, don't keep the beard, this is haram, don't worry, eat it, you'll die of hunger. If you stay at your shop and you leave the shop to go to pray salah, you're doing dhulm on your business, on your family, on yourself. No. So if ever this occurrence comes, that you're in a position, there's time to earn and it's time for salah, then at that time you'll sweat, how can I leave the world? At that time a person leaves the dunya with a heart, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It's shaitaniyat. If we earn at that time, we should stop work and run to the house of Allah, or run to pray. And this is the brave person, the courageous person. La talukum tijaratan, Allah Ta'ala says that this is the mard, the human being, the man. The man is that person who never is afraid that he's going to lose rizq. As soon as the hukum comes, look at the life of the Sahaba Akram, the noble companions of radiallahu anhum. Never in their life did they worry about hunger, poverty, no clothes, whether there was a tussle or a challenge or a test. But they never had fikr. Subhanallah. If you wanted to see them, when were they worried and concerned and distressed? If you wanted to see that concern on their faces, when the call of Adhan came, Allahu Akbar, then the color on their faces would change and their concern would change. Is this not the case? Their lifestyle would change, their actions would change. Suddenly Allah's calling. Nafs and shaitan, may they not stop us. And with braveness and courage, they left the dunya and took to the call of Allah. My brothers, I speak about myself, I'm a coward. And I need to take all of the dhikr of Allah. Is this the point? Oh, I'm weak. And my life, I've got no benefit. It's better if I wasn't alive. Why am I born? Is there anyone more of a coward than this? Oh, you're a son of a human being. And people send me texts like this. I'm weak. Become a human being. What's wrong with you inside? You've got iman. And you're inviting death. You invite death. Allah has given you such a precious life that you can earn Jannah through this, and you want death. You consider you're useless. Stand up, do tawbah in the court of Allah, and take hold of the dhikr of Allah with regularity and steadfastness and secure. Do so much dhikr that your heart becomes alive with the dhikr of Allah, and then I'll see how the shaitan can he come. How can the shaitan come? I'll see that, how can you commit the sin? Why? Subhanallah. Allah's kalam is haq, Quran is haq, Quran is truth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words are haq, truth. Yes, from his blessed tongue, the blessed words that came, how can they be wrong? They are 100% correct and pure. So after today, we need to learn. Whenever we feel weak, we're not practicing, we are neglecting Allah's orders, and we are dithering and thinking, shall I leave this? Then consider shaitan has punched you, and he's dropped you, he's knocked you out. So then we have to take the dhikr of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, ability, capability to practice. Ameen.